Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn. Don't deserve it till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Your foe, still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn. Deserve it till you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, hallelujah. No wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No wall you won't get. hallelujah. You know, to describe God's love is reckless is not calling God reckless. God is not by any means reckless. But by definition, his love does seem to be that way. I was reading the story behind the song, and you know, the author gave this revelation, and it's so true. The word reckless simply means to do something without thought of a consequence of the action to yourself. And to say reckless love, the love of God did something without thought of the consequence to himself. He became a man. He dwelt among us. And knowing full well exactly what the consequences could be and would be, he still did it. Died on the cross for our sins. Oh, that is the kind of love that God has for us. He bankrupted heaven that day so that we could spend an eternity with him. So we could spend an eternity with him. That's how much God loves us. And his love is not a love that just kind of follows us around. It chases after us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If you look at the full translation of that, it says, surely goodness and mercy, the love of God, will chase me down all the days of my life. There's nothing that I can do that will make God stop loving me. There's nothing that I could do to undo what God has done for me. Oh, hallelujah. His precious, overwhelming, reckless love for us. There's no shadow that he won't light up to find us. No mountain that he won't climb up to come after us. And he will kick down every wall and tear down every lie coming after us. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Sing the bridge with me again. Oh, sing that bridge with me again.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
Oh, hallelujah.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. No lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
There's no shadow.
Fear of consequence, you left the 99 for me. Oh, hallelujah. You know, some may seem that's kind of silly for a shepherd who has 100 sheep and loses one to leave the 99 and search that one. Because in our mind, we kind of think, what happens if he loses the 99? That one is still important. The 99 is still important. And the truth of the matter is, he will fight for every one of those sheep. Just like God fights for every one of his people. He's not afraid of losing the 99. Because he knows he'll fight for them just as much as he'll fight for that one. Oh, hallelujah. And he left the 99 for me. And he will leave the 99 for you. Constantly. Constantly. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. And it fights until I'm found. Leaves the 99. There's nothing I could do to earn it. And I don't deserve it at all. But still he gives himself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Sing the chorus with me just one more time.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's a mighty good God, amen. A mighty good God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he's alive? Amen. Amen. He's alive. Amen. How do we know he's alive? Because he's inside of you. He's inside of me. Amen. Every blood-bought believer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in us. Hallelujah. And he made a promise to us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you. I'll go with you always until the end of the age. Amen. What a promise. What a promise. If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm so glad to have met some new people this morning, see some new faces. I'm looking forward to get to know you. Hang around. We'll have dinner after service and have some time to visit. I tell you, on this Resurrection Day, this very day that we celebrate the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we need to be the most happy people, the most peaceful people on the planet. Amen. We've got so much to rejoice about. We've got a God that's not dead in some tomb somewhere. We got no idol that is just made of man's hands, but we've got the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful for His goodness and His grace. I want to do something just a little bit different in our resurrection service this morning. Then we're going to trust the Lord. And if you and I, if we'll respond, you know, the Bible says for us to cast every care upon the Lord because He cares for us. Amen. And so anything that would try to be something that would weigh you down this morning, Jesus Christ is calling you. His Spirit is here to help you to be able to cast all your burdens upon Him. His Spirit is here to give you liberty, victory, and freedom like you never had before. Amen? You believe that? That's what He came to do. He came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Come on, now that's for you and I. Amen? All right, let's talk about resurrection revealed and received. Amen? The resurrection, it needs to be revealed to every person. It's got to be revealed first to me, first to you, and then we need to reveal it to everyone that we come in contact as the Spirit wills. Amen? But also, it has to be received in a way that, as Brother Corey was teaching this morning, that it's life-changing. And if we had time, every one of you, I'm sure you could tell and share, witness how the very good news, the resurrection, has changed your life. And that's critical for us to have in our lives. But if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's start reading in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Notice what the Word of God says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Mark that down in your mind's eye. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some have passed on. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing and honoring the Word of God. I want to talk to you this morning, as the Lord laid on my heart, about three things out of these verses of Scripture. We need to make sure that we understand the gospel. We need to make sure that we have the gospel because of the grave. And because of that grave bringing the gospel to us, we've got a guarantee. Amen. There's not too many things that's guaranteed in this life besides, Ben Franklin said, I believe it was, what? Taxes and death. And that's about right. You're not guaranteed a lot of things. But you and I, as believers, we have the guarantee of the Word of God. We have the promises, amen, of the Word of God. And those promises are, yes, waiting on you and I, amen. But anyway, let's look at some things in here. Let's talk about this gospel just for a minute. Notice what he said. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And that's what our message is about. It's not about man's traditions. It's not about denominations. It's about the good news. Amen. What's the good news? The good news is that I was lost and undone. I was a sinner. I was a dead man walking. And Jesus Christ, as Brother Corey mentioned in Sunday school, John 1:29, John the Baptist talked about Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. That's what Jesus does. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus came to undo what had happened in the garden. He came to undo and make a way for your sin, my sin, not just to be covered over, not just to be rolled back, but to be justified, come on, by faith, just as if you never sinned. That's the gospel. And he said, moreover, I declare unto you. Now, this word declare from the Greek, it means to certify. In other words, Paul said, I have something I want to certify in your life. Now, let's think about that. Each and every one of us, you could reach in your billfold. You could reach into your purse, whatever the case might be. You could pull out a driver's license. That is a certificate that says that you have the right to drive here in the state of Arkansas. And you had to do certain things to get certified. Well, Paul is saying, what I'm fixing to tell you, I've been certified by Jesus Christ. I've been authorized. I've been deputized to share the good news. Well, that's the story of every believer. Amen. You have a message that is unique unto yourself. I have a message that's unique unto myself. Nobody can tell the gospel quite like you. Nobody can tell the gospel as an individual because, see, you met Jesus in a way in your own circumstance of life. Just think about the Apostle Paul and how he met Jesus, where his confidence was. His confidence was in religion. His confidence was in keeping the law. His confidence was in his prestige and stature in the community. And all of a sudden, that got changed. He was willing to give all of that up after he met Jesus. And that's the same way with you and I. The things that we used to have confidence in, we no longer do. Our confidence is in the gospel, this good news. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein that you stand. We need to be in a place and a position where we recognize that the same gospel that saved you is the same gospel that's going to enable you to stand upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, until you take the last breath or the fulfillment, the sounding of the trumpet, amen, the coming of the Lord. That's your confidence. And so you're not just barely getting along. You're not just barely making it in your Christian walk. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer because God said you was, not because how you feel. If I went by how I feel, I would go hide somewhere in a corner. But it's not about feeling. It's about faith and confidence in the Word of God. Amen? So let's talk about this gospel just for a minute, and let's look at some things. If you would, turn over with me to the book of Ephesians, and let's see about this certification in the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1. For sake of time, let's just pick it up in verse 13. We'll just read one verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Now remember, in the gospel, you've been certified. That we could say you have been sealed. Notice what the Word of God says. In whom, talking about Jesus, ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, mark it down in your mind's eye, the gospel of your salvation is personal. And whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, my, my, my. Now, think about that this morning. This gospel wherein it was preached to you, that was declared, you received it and you stood upon that rock. And when you stood upon that rock, all of a sudden, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You were sealed. God said, you're mine. God the Father looked down and through and by the Son, he said, you are mine. Amen. Now, that announced to the world, that announced to the devil and all of his cohorts who you were. And that sealing is so powerful. That sealing is going to take you all the way through. Let's document that. Go over to the fourth chapter in this book of Ephesians. And Paul addresses that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we're redeemed, all right, but he's talking about the day that you and I put off this flesh body. And this corruptible, it's put off, and we put on the incorruptible. We put off the mortal, and we put on the immortal. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 goes into great detail about that if we'd have kept reading, but we didn't have time to do that. But I want you to be so excited this morning that the gospel means so much more to us than just good news in the sense of those two words. It means that when you're in the gospel, you're in Christ. And it means that you're sealed. Amen. You are sealed into the day of redemption. You've got to get a hold of that. I've got to get a hold of that. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So that implies to us, that helps us to understand that when the Holy Spirit does the sealing, that he's going to be in a place in your life where he's talking to you every day. He's wanting to lead you every day in this gospel, in the good news, in the understanding that God wants to reveal more about what the revelation of the resurrection means to you. It doesn't just mean, like Brother Corey said this morning, that you're going to heaven. It means that you've been called and you've been anointed to bring heaven to earth. You are in a place and a position to do some things that God's called you to do. Amen. You can do what Jesus did because Jesus has authorized you. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Now, as we look at these verses, let's go to Romans chapter 3. That's been certified. But what is the gospel really, when we get down to the grassroots level, what does it mean to us this morning? First of all, Romans chapter 3, verse number 10 says, as it is written, and that's what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, according to the scriptures, what's written. As it is written, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, let's think about that. There was none righteous, no, not one. Now, that means that you and I, we had no hope. We were lost and undone, because the Bible says without holiness, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl shall see the Lord. They can't see God. So here we were. So we had to have an answer. So drop down to verse 23, and we'll get the bad news again, and then we'll get into the good news. It says, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we're all in the same boat. Amen. So you don't have to wonder if this person is better or if this person's worse. We're all in the same category without Jesus. Amen. But the good news is, the gospel is, verse 24, being justified freely. I don't know about you. There's not too many people in the world that'll give you something for nothing. If they do, it's usually something that they've cast it aside and they're no longer interested in. But we have a God that he loves us so much that he wants to freely give unto us the answer to our trouble, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is that redemption about? Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or an atonement through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This is the good news. This is the gospel. This is what it's all about. Because Jesus shed his blood. Because my God was willing, long-suffering, waiting on me as he was drawing me, waiting on you as he was drawing you, to bring us to a place where we could be justified. Look what it says in verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness. That's what this is all about. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the good news. If you believe in Jesus, if I believe in Jesus, it says if we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, we shall be what? Saved. Amen? Come on, loosen up a little bit. Hallelujah. This is the resurrection day. This is a day to be full of joy. Amen. Don't be hindered. Don't be limited. Let your joy come out. Amen. What's on the inside needs to come out on the outside. But I want you to be so excited about the reality that he said that he was your justifier. Now, this is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God. Peter likened it this way. He said he was the sinless. He was the perfect Lamb. He justified you. He justified me. So the one who was perfect, the one who was sinless, who could shed blood that could take my black sin and make it white as snow, he's my justifier. So I've got to receive this resurrection in that reality, because this is a great revelation of the understanding that God loved me so much and that God looks at me now. He looks at you now through the blood of Jesus. So see, that's why we can boldly come under the throne of grace to find help in time of need. That's why this morning, every weight that would so easily beset you, every weight, every sin, everything, you can cast it on the Lord. Amen. And you can have liberty and freedom. You can leave this place. You say, well, I'm already saved. I am too. But guess what? Every day I've got to cast some things on the Lord. Because there's some weight that the devil, there's some weight in the world. There's some things in the working of the enemy that he tries to weigh down you and I. But we've got victory this morning. Amen. This is all about the gospel. Real quick, turn to the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. I love this verse. This is probably my second favorite verse. But God commendeth his love toward us. Put your name in there. But God commendeth his love toward me. In that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for us. He died for the whole world. But it doesn't mean much unless I say he died for me. Christ died for me. Amen. And I received that revelation, and I received that, and in receiving that revelation, all of a sudden, everything that Jesus died to take out of my life, then when I receive him risen, alive on the right hand of the Father, I start taking in my life what the resurrection brings. I start taking in the reality of relationship with God the Father. I start taking in reality of being able to commune with God the Father through the name of Jesus. I start taking in the reality that the Holy Spirit will speak truth in my heart. That he will lead me and guide me. He'll show me what's right. He'll show me what's wrong. He'll help me to overcome, because the Word will always be before my eyes. Because the Holy Spirit said, I'll never lift up myself. I'll only lift up Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Amen. That's what Brother Corey taught this morning. So here we are. We're in this great place. Look what it says. Much more in verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved. Shall we be saved by his life. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. That means every day your life is getting, you're getting pruned and purged. You're getting washed in the water of the Word as you meditate on that Word and as you allow the unction of the Spirit of God to come in you, and you yield to that unction, and you start recognizing and realizing how much life you have. That's the gospel, amen? But the gospel comes because of the grave. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. It comes because of the grave. Notice what he said. Let's reread verses 3 and 4. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. See, there had to be a grave. There had to be a grave. You and I, so many times, we look at situations about our life, and we think that when something has to be put down, that it's the end of it. But we've got to see, just as Brother Corey taught so wonderfully this morning by the unction of the Spirit of God, when we put something down is the point when God can raise something up. Amen? Our God wants to raise something up in you, and that something is somebody. And that somebody is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is Jesus the Christ. He wants to be elevated in your life, because John 12:32, I believe it is, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, you're the vessel that God wants to use. Amen. And so we've got to understand that the grave is there and it has a purpose. And it's according to the Scriptures. So when you're talking to somebody that might be a little doubtful about the Word of God, then you need to be in a place and a position where you can just share some things with them. In the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17, this is a prelude to what Jesus would say about his death. And this is a type and a shadow thereof. Jonah 1 and 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now notice this part. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 12. And let's see what Jesus said about that. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus acknowledges this and brings this up. So it's according to the scriptures. So we understand that not one jot, not one tittle did Jesus change. He come and he fulfilled it. He fulfilled all the word of God. Look what Jesus says. Matthew 12:39. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the very heart, the heart of the earth. Amen? So according to the scriptures, you've got something to stand on. That's just one example. We could look at Isaiah chapter 53, and we could see how 740 years before the very crucifixion, that it was prophesied what was going to happen. And everything that's listed, it comes to pass. We could look at Psalms 22, right down to the Roman soldiers gambling for the very clothes of Jesus. We could see that. We could see them smiting him and pulling out his beard. All of that written 700-800 years before it actually happened. And God made it come to pass verbatim. Amen. That's our God. And so, according to the scriptures, so the grave was prophesied, but also was the resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But we can't have the good news without understanding the grave. Amen? We've got to see that it was needful. It had to take place. Somebody had to die for your sin. Somebody had to die for my sin. And there was only one. It was impossible for bull and goats to take care of your sin and my sin. Amen? But only the precious blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb, Jesus Christ, he was laid in that tomb, in that grave for us. But we've got a guarantee this morning. Let's go back to our text. We've got a guarantee, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this, starting in verse number 5. It says that, he rose again. And here's the guarantee of the witness of the very testimony. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. First of all, and Jesus, he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. Now, I love this because you get into commentaries, and not to offend anybody, but I don't like commentaries because most of them will confuse people. Most of them will take away from the Word of God. You've got to be very cautious. Now, just with anything, there's good and there's bad. Amen? But they say that a lot of historians, they'll take this verse and they'll use it to show that Paul didn't write under the unction of the Spirit of God because they said he should have said the 11. Well, Paul wrote this after Matthias, Acts 1, was added to the 11. So there's no mistakes in the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is infallible. It's true. It's just where we interpret it, we might get into trouble. So, but I want you to notice this, the power of this guarantee, of this witness. Verse 6, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Well, this is going on today. Every Christian on the earth can testify that I've seen Jesus. Now, I recognize and I realize that he's talking about in this 40-day period. And we can't say that, but we can say that we've seen Jesus, because I'm here to tell you today, I know Jesus is alive. He's not in that tomb. He's right in here. He's right in here. He talks to me. My life was a mess. My life was so messed up and had no hope. I was in all sorts of different types of bondages, mindsets, miserable, had anger, had hate. And when Jesus come into my heart, things changed. You can't tell me that he's a dead man in a tomb when I know he's alive working in my heart. Amen? Jesus is alive. So we've got a guarantee this morning. Now I want you to think about this. We've got these men. Let's just talk about the 12 just for a second. We've got these 12 men, 11 of them there, that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They were very diverse In the way that Jesus called them, and he done that for a reason and for a purpose, but they were also very fearful. And even though Peter was so bold, when it come down to the nitty-gritty, we know that he denied Christ just like Jesus said he would. But something happened to them to where they were willing to stand and be martyred. I don't know about you. I don't know too many people who will give their life for something that they don't believe in. But they saw Jesus. In this 40-day period, they saw him and they received instruction from him. He revealed to them what he wanted them to do. And so they had a guarantee that everything they had placed their life in the past 3.5 years was going to go on throughout all eternity. Amen? That's the same thing with you and I. We've got a guarantee. And so let's just look at a couple examples. Go with me to the book of Acts. And let's see. Now, Acts chapter 6, we have right here where it starts naming Stephen, and we don't have time to look at it, but let's go to Acts chapter 7, and let's see what it says about Stephen. Stephen preaches the greatest message you'll ever hear preached. If you ever want a condensed version of the whole Bible, just read Acts chapter 7. It'll give it to you in short detail. But look what it says about him as he's finishing up his message. Verse 54. And when they heard, when the religious heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Notice this. And they gnashed on him, on Stephen, with their teeth. They were so against the message. Now think about this. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. And what did he see? Who did he see? Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Everything he'd preached, everything he would live for was being revealed. Heaven was opened. Amen? If the Holy Ghost would, if God would let the Holy Spirit give us discerning the spirits just for a moment, our eyes would be open. And we could see what was going on all around us. Amen? This is real. This is true. This is genuine. He saw Jesus there. But look at the love and the power that is working in his life. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now notice this. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can do that. See, Romans 5:5 says that when you get saved, when I get saved, that the love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart. Here he had so much love in his heart that he was able to pray just as Jesus did for those who were coming against him. Amen? That tells us there's a guarantee. That tells us there's something greater than my flesh. There's something greater than your flesh. What is it? It's the power of a risen Savior working in your life. You are guaranteed the fact that if you've received the gospel because you believe that Jesus went to the grave and the grave couldn't hold him, you have a guarantee that you have life. And you have it more abundantly in this time, but you have everlasting life because you're born of the one who gives life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We won't take time. We could look at where James, where he lost his head. They cut his head off. But let's just real quickly, let's just talk about Saul just for a minute. Here Saul was holding the very coats of those who are going to kill Stephen. Now, can you imagine the impact as he had so much hatred against Christians? He had so much hatred against this name of Jesus, and he's holding these coats, and he sees the love, and he sees the revelation, and he hears the words about Jesus being rose. And so it motivates the natural man, the flesh, even more to go against the church, and that's what he does. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes, and what does he do? Changes his whole life. On the road to Damascus, as Jesus reveals himself to this Saul who would become Paul and reveals himself to him, all of a sudden, Paul says, I'm going to give up a place on the Sanhedrin court. I'm going to give up the standing in the temple. I'm going to give up the standing of all that I have in Jerusalem. And I'm going to have my life poured out because I met somebody who done what religion, what church couldn't do. I met a man that looked at me. I got a plan for you. I've got a destiny for you. The Lord has a destiny for you this morning. He has a plan for you. And He wants you, He wants me to draw nigh unto Him. And He made a promise. If we draw nigh unto Him, He'd draw nigh unto us. This morning, I want us to receive a new revelation of the resurrection. And I want us to leave this place and go have a meal in a moment with a newfound liberty in Jesus. I want us to be in a place where our tongue is loosed, our heart is open and free. And we can't help but tell what God, through His Son, has done in our life. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You for the reality that Jesus Christ is alive. He is well. He's on the throne of our heart. And we have not only life, but we have eternal, everlasting life. We have abundant life now, but we have everlasting life. Father, but I feel like that there's some areas this morning that You want to encourage us in. You want to help us in. And I just pray by the power of the Spirit of God that You'll touch each one of us. That there be a new revelation of this resurrection. That there be a new reception of truth that we may be able to impart to others. Let us have a newfound liberty. And let the fire of the Spirit of God come inside of us, causing our tongue to be loosed. We used to have a tongue that was set on fire with the fire of iniquity. But now let it be on fire with the very power of the Word of God, by the fire of the Spirit of God. We asked You, Father, just help us draw nigh unto You. If there's anybody in this service this morning, Father God, that hasn't met You through Your Son, we ask today that this be the day. If there's any that's grown cold and like Peter, they're warming their hands by the fire of the enemy. Let them be touched. Let them be drawn and let them come to the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, Lord, You just take over. We yield to You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would You come? Would You come this morning to this altar and say, Lord, here I am this morning. I want to worship You. I want to hear from You. And I want to unload everything that would hinder me. There is an anointing in this place for you to have the complete liberty that only Jesus Christ can bring to you. There is a reality on this resurrection day that if you've never accepted Jesus, that this is the day for you to accept Him. He's calling you. The Bible says that Jesus calls His sheep by name. Well, you see, He called me. I didn't even know I was a sheep. I was a goat, but He called those things that be not as though they were. He called me one of His own, amen? And He wants to call us this morning. He wants us to draw nigh unto Him. So whatever you need this morning, I ask you, just draw nigh unto the Lord on this day that we celebrate the resurrection. Because He wants to instill to you more of Himself. According to John 3:30, John the Baptist made this statement. He said, I have to decrease that Jesus Christ may increase. And if we want the Lord to have all of His will in our lives, that's exactly what we've got to do this morning. I admonish you. Just spend some time with the Lord. Let Him talk to you. Hallelujah. Thank you.